It indeed is powerful and effective. And so to that end, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak to us this morning through the power of your word. I pray you would give us ears to hear what you are saying to us in this hour. I pray that you would give our minds the ability to comprehend what we are hearing. And as we comprehend that word, I pray it would seep down to the deepest parts of our soul, and that it would find a place there of good soil so that that word could be planted and that it would grow and produce life in us and life in those around us. Finally, this morning, I pray that you would give us courage so that we can be who you've asked us to be and do what you've asked us to do. Thank you for the power of your word this morning. In Jesus' name, can you say amen with me again today? Amen. Amen. I'd like to share a message with you this morning entitled, "It is finished, but it's not over." Title of the message today is, "It is finished, but it's not over." Today we celebrate. Today we celebrate the risen Lord. Today we celebrate the resurrection of our King. It is Resurrection Sunday. But we are acutely aware that before Resurrection Sunday, there was a Good Friday that wasn't very good for Jesus. The Last Supper, the Garden of Gethsemane, the arrest and trial of Jesus, the beating and the flogging of Jesus, the crown of thorns, the mocking from the Sanhedrin and the soldiers, the carrying of his own cross, the ridicule, the scorn, the shame, concluding with the crucifixion and death of Jesus Christ, that embodies Good Friday. It's here we find Jesus in John chapter 19, verse 28, just mere moments before his final words. His body crucified, beaten, torn, exhausted, and bound within its human capacities. His lungs struggling for every single breath, struggling to find every bit of oxygen they could simply to stay alive. Finally, with the ability to produce a breath, and with that final breath, using all of the human strength he had left, Jesus did not murmur. Jesus did not mumble. Jesus did not stammer. He declared his final words. And the scriptures tell us that he cried out, and his last three words, the cry heard across the slopes outside of Jerusalem, was, "It is finished." Jesus gives up his life. Three last words were spoken. "It is finished." Yet, those words were spoken with such power and with such authority that the whole earth was summoned to take notice in that moment. Jesus speaks, and heaven and earth react. Jesus speaks, and humanity reacts. The living react. The dead even react. Matthew's gospel records it this way in Matthew 27, verses 50 through 53. It says, "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that very moment, the curtain of the temple was torn from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life." Nothing was off limits in that moment on that day when those words were spoken. The temple veil was not off limits. The holiest of holies was not off limits. The temple itself was not off limits to the cry of Jesus, "It is finished," and that veil tore from top to bottom. The earth, the rocks, the hills were not off limits. The earthquake came and the rocks split apart. The earth trembled beneath the voice of Jesus crying, "It is finished." Those living watching the crucifixion were not off limits. Those dead were not off limits. Nothing was off limits to the power of the words that were spoken that day. Jesus spoke and everything responded. Everything responded. Matthew 27:54 records that even the Roman centurion and the Roman soldiers guarding Jesus' crucifixion, they responded by claiming, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Luke 23 verses 40 through 49 tells us that those who are just there observing the crucifixion, those up close and those far away, in that moment beat their chest and ran away because of their response to those three words. It goes on to say that those who knew Jesus were struck with grief and great sadness as they watched all of this unfold. For them and the other disciples, anger, grief, and lament were the obvious immediate reactions. Caring for the body was the next arduous task in the wake of their loss. And upon the burial of Jesus, as they sealed that tomb, confusion, doubt, and fear would be the new normal mental adversary for everyone that knew him. That day, it was finished. But it was not over. It was finished, but it was not over. Friday happened. But Sunday, as they say, it was coming. In the book Astonished, Recapturing the Wonder, Awe, and Mystery of Life with God, the author makes this statement. Kristen, do we have it? I think we have the statement on some slides so that you can read along with me as I read. The author makes this statement in regards to our context today. There is room for darkness, lament, and sorrow in the Christian life. So we grieve, not as those who have no hope, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Our hope is in the complete reversal, Sharina mentioned it earlier, the complete reversal of death, sin, and grief that was begun by Jesus of Nazareth. We do not offer the world, listen to this, church, as believers, as Christians, we do not offer the world some abstract musings about suffering and justice. We offer God in human flesh, taking the evil of the world upon himself. We don't start with conceptual and philosophical ideas of God. We start with Jesus of Nazareth, hanging on a tree, humiliated on a Friday, and vindicated in resurrection the next Sunday. Hallelujah. We do not hope according to our wishes or to our thinking. We preach according to what God has in fact done in Jesus Christ. The cross is a sign of defiance. The empty tomb, a sign of hope. The two signs go together. Easter Sunday could only happen after Good Friday. And this is the hope of the gospel. This is the hope of the gospel. The empty tomb is a sign of hope. Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, whatever you choose to call it, could only happen after the terror and the brutality of Good Friday. On Good Friday, it was finished, but it wasn't over. Death had won the round, but resurrection would win the fight. Satan thought he had won, but there was a visitor bearing the name King Jesus that was going to pay him a visit. The King who had conquered death, hell, and the grave. The Savior who was on His way to take back some keys that belonged to Him. The authority with a capital A. The authority who would shake the very gates of hell and make every demon tremble in their tracks. Satan thought he had won, but there was a king coming, one who would set captives free and remind the hordes of hell who the real victor was on that day. Satan thought he had won, but Jesus the Christ, our King, would prove that Satan had most certainly not won. Hallelujah. The Savior would crush Satan's head and remind him that forever he must live, defeated underneath the feet of the glorified Son of the living God. His name is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world. It was finished on Friday, but Sunday proves that it was so far from being over. Jesus would set the new standard of hope in this life and the life to come. Hallelujah. The hope of the gospel, hear this today. The hope of the gospel that we celebrate on this day and do our best to live out on every other day. The hope of this gospel meets every single need this life could ever present. The hope of the gospel is absolutely, unequivocally, 100% the hope for this day. The hope for today and every other day. But the hope of the gospel doesn't stop with today. It doesn't stop with tomorrow. Because of Resurrection Sunday, because of Christ's victory over death, we have the hope of eternal life beyond this mortal life. Our hope is not in this world alone. Our hope is not just in our current existence in relationship with God. Our hope is not just based on what we see and how we feel. Our hope is not just in our experience on this earth. Our hope is connected to a hope of eternity. Our hope in this life is connected to a life beyond the grave, beyond this mortal life. The Apostle Paul describes it very, very thoroughly in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 3 through 8 say it this way. For what I received I passed on to you, Paul said, as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter and then the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, Paul would say, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all of the apostles, and last of all, He appeared to me also as to one abnormally born, Paul said. He would go on in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 through 14 and 19 and 20 to say these words. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Let's pause right there. If Christ did not raise from the dead, this gathering is useless. If Christ did not raise from the dead, my faith is useless. If Christ did not raise from the dead, our preaching and your faith is useless. But verse 19 says this, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than any other man. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Which means that since Christ indeed has been raised from the dead, my faith is valid. Because Christ has been raised from the dead, your faith is valid. Because Christ has been raised from the dead, our preaching and our testimony is valid. Because Christ has been raised from the dead, your story and your experience with Jesus is valid. And it is life-changing, and the world needs to hear it. Because He raised from the dead. The hope of the gospel is not just a hope for this life alone. Paul made that perfectly clear. It is a hope for the life to come. The life that comes after death. It is a hope for eternity, a hope beyond the grave. The hope of the gospel is described in the name ascribed to Jesus, Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us on this earth. God with us in eternity. God with us. Period. The hope of the gospel is not isolated. The hope of the gospel is not designated to a select few who are good enough, smart enough, right enough, or strong enough. How many of you, like me, who are maybe not the smartest, the wisest, the strongest, are sure glad that God came for us, the lowly? Come on, somebody. Hey, I'm looking at you, and all of you should have said amen to that one. God, Christ came, and He did not come for a select few. He came for the multitudes. He came for humanity. The hope of the gospel is not reserved for those who have it all together and have all their little ducks in a row. I'm grateful to have all my ducks in the pond, and I have a very large pond. Come on, somebody. It didn't come for those isolated few. The hope of the gospel is for the rich and for the poor. The elevated and the lowly, the broken and the restored. The hope of the gospel is literally for every single person who ever has been, who is, or who will be born in the future. Amen. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3 says it so beautifully. I'd like to read those words as we begin to conclude the message. Pastor, you can come forward if you would like. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. Jesus would actually quote this in Luke chapter 4 as He began His ministry. And the words of Isaiah 61, 1 through 3 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." God has made Himself present with us. That is the joy and the promise of the gospel. It is quite literally what Christ died for. To deliver and save, to restore and heal, to bind up the broken, to release the captive, to comfort the mourning, to provide for those who grieve, to clothe with garments of praise instead of a spirit of despair, to bring the oil of gladness instead of mourning, to be present with us in every area of our life. And as we see Him present in our lives, I pray that we would see Him as Revelation 21:5 describes Him. "And He who was seated on the throne," the Revelator said, "Behold, I am making all things new." I pray that on this Resurrection Sunday, you would remember that the resurrection speaks to the very character and honor of Jesus Christ. He keeps His promises. every single time. Luke 24, 1 through 8 is how we will close this morning. We have a special benediction for you that Pastor will actually be bringing. Luke 24, excuse me, verses 1 through 8. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." And then the angel goes on to say this, "Remember how he told you while he was still with you alive in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. So as I close this part out today, remember, it is finished, but it ain't over. Jesus still stands as victor. The gospel still changes lives. The resurrection still holds power. And Resurrection Sunday is still reason to celebrate. Can somebody get excited with me this morning and celebrate the resurrection? Hallelujah. Pastor.